Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, it's time for part two of the In the Loop Texans candidate four-way showdown. We heard from Eric Bieniemy. No thank you, according to me. Lopez is okay with it, but it's not his top guy.
He's my number two. I'm not saying I would be against it.
And I would say loopholes are split. There's some good opinions on both ends. Our next guy, the next contestant. We need an appropriate introduction here. I don't know what Chosen One music is. I don't know what. Do we have like a hymn? Like a church hymn or something like that? We need something for the Chosen One. He can be a king, whatever he's got to be. But this guy is the man for the job. This is the guy you want
on that hill
to be the head coach of your Houston Texans. Let's hit. Yes, sir. Coming to America. Throw the rose petals out. There's my Texans PR staff. There's Amy Paulsik and Omar and Nathan coming out there throwing the rose petals for my man. The man who should be the next coach for the Houston Texans. Robert Saleh. Straight off of the Pete Carroll coaching tree. Straight into his current role as defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers, he brings the it factor. I heard Seth Payne talking about it this morning. The Mike Vrabel it factor, he has it. He would bring with him an offensive mind, whether it's the run game coordinator or the pass game coordinator with the San Francisco 49ers. He would bring experience. He would bring wisdom. He would bring 10 less years of age than Eric Bieniemy.
This is true, too.
But probably a little more experience as far as being a high-level coordinator, Robert Saleh. And if you haven't heard him talk, oh, my, do I have a treat for you. If you aren't already motivated for the weekend, whoo, man, it's about to be nice.
This is that CEO commanding presence that I was talking about.
This is a guy who, before games, why Eric Bieniemy is eating potato chips and listening to what Andy Reid tells him to do.
Do you know that he's eating potato chips?
I don't know. I just know he's not running the stadium like Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh is running the stadium, and he's overseeing one of the best defenses in the NFL. No Nick Bosa? No D Ford?
Mm-hmm.
No problem for Robert Saleh. San Francisco still getting the job done. Next man up. Oh, yeah, Richard Sherman's hurt too, by the way.
Yeah.
Ask Pete Carroll about him. Ask Kyle Shanahan about him. You know what Kyle Shanahan said when Robert Saleh didn't get the Cleveland Browns job?
Great.
I was pumped.
Yeah.
Is what he said. Because he knows he's going to get a job.
He went full selfish because he knows how good he is.
Because he knows how lucky he is to have Robert Saleh, and he knows how lucky we would be to have Robert Saleh as our head coach. Robert Saleh getting ready to go face one of his mentors, Pete Carroll, in Seattle this weekend. Here is Robert Saleh talking to the media about one of his players, Mr. Armstead, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, arguably one of the most underrated. When they faced the Rams, when the shorthanded 49ers faced the Rams, they dominated them, and the defense was the main reason. Armstead was all over the place, and it's almost like he knew what one of the best offensive minds in the NFL, Sean McVay, was going to call.
Right.
He knew what was coming. Robert Saleh was asked about that. We're going to get to know Robert Saleh, the coach, and we're going to get to know Robert Saleh, the man. Chosen One, take it away.
As far as Sunday's game, there was a two-play sequence in the second quarter in which Eric Armstead seemed to know exactly what the Rams were running on those two plays. The second was that attempted tight end screen to Higbee, does that come from film study? Does it come from experience? And sort of where does he rank as far as kind of knowing what play is going to be run?
To answer your question, it comes from both experience and film study. He studies film more than anybody I've, at least on the D-line, and that I've ever been across. I'm being completely honest. It was Friday night. Quick story on it. It was Friday night, and I'm watching a movie with my wife.
Family man.
Which is normally day night. And I get a text from Eric Armstead talking about play number 1-2 from
Coach different call
games. I won't call it what games they were and what plays they were, but talking about a tendency that he was picking up. And I said, and so here I am texting with Eric Armstead, and my wife is like, can we watch a movie? So he's he studies film. He's been through the ringer. He's got a lot of experience on him. He does a great job leading the group and bringing pointers to those guys, and his need for more knowledge rather than just what the coaches give him is testament to him and why he's so deserving of the success he's had.
Players are all over Sean McVay's offense. This ain't facing the Houston Texans and knowing what's coming. Ray Charles or Loophole Blind Stew could do that against Bill O'Brien. We're talking about Sean effing McVay. The 49ers know what's coming. Yeah. Eric Armstead, during the bye week, is so excited in watching film that he texts Robert Saleh during a date night with his wife. He has that close of a relationship with his head coach, or defensive coordinator, texts him, and Robert Saleh doesn't want to take any of the credits, but he probably should. That right there.
Well, just to be able
why
to,
he's the chosen
to
one.
Devise that plan and to get it done. And again, he has that knack for just you gotta listen to what he has to say. It's a presence. It's just one of those guys that when you walk into the room and he starts talking, you know, people want to listen to him. And that's that presence that he has.
Here's more from Robert Saleh. The 49ers not only have, like, some stars, they have a guy named Justin Verrett from TCU. And Verrett tore a labrum in 2014, made the Pro Bowl in 2015. Then he tore his ACL. Then he had a knee surgery in 2017. Then he had a torn Achilles. Then he had ankle injury last year, and he's back. And he got an interception. Robert Saleh was asked about his story and the motivation behind Verrett.
For JV, and really anyone who's been through things that he's been through, where they have the success they have early in their career, and then they hit this lull and everyone counts them out and gives you a reason why you can just quit. But you just keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. And guys like JV, when they can make it back, and then they have the success that they know they're capable of, the joy and emotion is for them. Everybody on the sideline is just pumped for him. The text from Sherm when we got back in the locker room, the game is over, and Bosa and all his teammates that weren't there on the sideline, just the excitement. Look, JV, it's really a testament really to him and the leadership, the quiet leadership he's given people and the quiet example he's given people, because everyone watches. When you're in this building, everyone's watching every move you make, and all we did was watch JV work for the last couple of years, stay quiet, keep his head down, and do everything he could to get back to this football team so he could provide some help, and he's doing it, and knock on wood, if he stays healthy, this whole entire world's going to see how great he is again.
That's a culture right there.
It is.
By the way, I mispronounced the government. Jason Verrett, my bad. Not Justin. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that doesn't take away.
It went
from
right
what
over my head too.
Okay. No, they both start with a J.
Yeah, no, went over my head, and he had something to do with this too.
Exactly.
You know that's what you can't.
Culture.
Yeah, you can't ignore. You know, he's telling. You know, he's telling us those things and kind of motivating us. But you know, he was in Verrett's ear every day and inspiring him and telling him to keep going, et cetera, et cetera.
We heard from Eric Bieniemy in part one. You're hearing from the chosen one, Robert Saleh, in part two of the four-way Texans candidate showdown here on In the Loop. This is where he won me over. If he didn't need to, this was basically just the icing on the cake. I tend to describe super freaks in a certain way, involving an analogy of a certain video game.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Saleh was asked about Cam Newton.
Great
minds think alike. Let's just put it that way.
He looks like everyone's Madden figure when you create a player on Madden. From the end zone copy, it looks like he's supposed to have his hand on the football while the centers should be taking the snap. He's that big.
All right. So he plays Madden too.
Well, he's got
six. See, he's a pretty young guy.
He's got six kids.
Yeah.
He's got six kids. He's a good dude. That Robert Saleh.
Mm-hmm.
Should be the coach. Should be the coach. Here's the final words from Robert Saleh. And this is the one. If none of this has really swept you off your feet, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. We have trust issues with coaches here. I get it. But this
we is, are kind of punchy.
This is where he talks about building a culture. And he's talking about how you build a culture. You have your superstar players. You have your practice squad players. You have your Jason Verrett's who have come back from injury. This is Robert Saleh, and this is what you really need to hear if you want to look at the job ahead for the next Texans coach and what is going to happen and what's going to be built and the mood that is going to need to be in that building for a Super Bowl to finally come to Houston. This is Robert Saleh talking about what it takes to build a culture.
It's our job to watch everybody, whether you're on IR, you're on the practice squad, it doesn't matter. You're just watching. You're getting reports. You're talking to the trainers. You're talking to the equipment room. You're talking to strength crew, the performance staff. You're talking to everybody, and you're talking to the man. And it's not just me. It's John Lynch and Adam Peters and Martin Mayhew, Kyle Shanahan. It's everyone, the DB coaches. Everyone's talking, and they're all trying to see where he's at. What I think people will take for granted is that whenever your star players are, your best players are film junkies, it only helps those younger guys. They learn how to do it the right way because not everyone is capable of just going to the football field and playing great football. But everyone is capable of being great film study habits and maximizing their personal ability. And so they've all taken that, they've had great leadership ahead of when they came in young, and they've taken that step and really kind of, they've really built something as players on the defensive side of the ball where they've just kind of, they've kind of taken it over, and that's kind of what you want. To answer your question, it's awesome. It is awesome.
Come on. Come on. Like, if this were a well-oiled machine, then I would understand the Bieniemy. But I think there's a little bit of a process that's going to need to take place, and I don't think there's anyone better than Robert Saleh. I also think you're worried about the offensive minds. You're going to get one of those guys, either with the run game coordinator or the pass game coordinator from the San Francisco 49ers, McDaniel or LaFleur. You're going to get those guys. When it comes to what the Texans need, when it comes to credibility, when it comes to the it factor that you see with Mike Vrabel, this is the guy. There's a reason Kyle Shanahan straight up said, I was pumped that he didn't get the Browns job. And he said, I know he's going to end up getting a job, but having him here makes my job a lot easier. This guy's 41 years old. Eric Bieniemy's 51. Eric Bieniemy's paid his dues. Eric Bieniemy's going to be a coach in the NFL. He might very well be a good one.
Yeah.
But for this situation, for the situation we're dealing with, here in Houston with the Houston Texans, Robert Saleh is the guy you need. He's the guy you should want. He's going to get the job done. He is going to build this thing. He is going to get the best of the guys on Sunday, and he is going to build a culture. That's what you need. This is the guy. I'm telling you, John.
This is
the guy.
I was at the point of the arrow with him as soon as Bill O'Brien was fired.
I just slapped your ass, okay?
You're just taking credit. Here's why, though. And here's why I like him the most. Not just because I think he's got that leadership and he'll push the offense over to one dude that can control and have influence and the relationship with Deshaun Watson. It's the pedigree, too. Keep in mind, you mentioned Pete Carroll. He's got connections to Pete Carroll and that resource. He's got connections to Gary Kubiak and that resource. He knows his way around this building already because of Gary Kubiak. He came in as an intern under Kubiak and worked for the Houston Texans. A lot of people may not realize that. All right. So he's got that resource with Kubiak and Pete Carroll and Shanahan now, and the relationship with those offensive coordinators. And on top of that, he worked for Mark Richt at Georgia. He worked at Michigan State. I mean, he's got that at a wealth of information and resources at his disposal, on top of what he brings himself.
And I'm going to make a promise to the loopholes. Look, I'm going to talk myself into where I'm going to be disappointed if Robert Saleh isn't the next guy. But the next coach of the Texans gets a fresh slate. He's going to get full support. We are going to support him no matter what. But I just think it would be a big mistake if they didn't hire this guy. I truly believe that this situation is perfect for Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
This isn't a well-oiled machine. A culture needs to be established. He's going to hire the right guys. He's respected enough. He's hungry enough. He's driven enough. I just think this is the guy. That's part two. We'll get to part three coming up. So these are two guys that are also coming up as coaching candidates. One of them we both like, Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Colts. And there's another offensive guy in Greg Roman. Now, the first two guys we've heard from, these guys are guys with the it factor. They win press conferences.
They have charisma.
These next two?
Not so much.
Maybe not. More next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, so we've heard from two guys with the it factor. There's no denying. Eric Bieniemy, Robert Saleh, regardless of where you sit, those guys have the it factor.
Yes, they do.
You can listen to them talk all day. Our next two guys, they might not have the charisma, but they got the substance.
Who are coaches like that that have been successful?
Bill Belichick.
Well, he's not on, I'm talking, they're not like that. They're not turds. I mean, they're just not flashy personalities, you know. I'm trying to think.
Well, Bill Kubiak.
Kubiak is one. Bill Walsh.
I don't know. He seemed like he could own a room every once in a while.
Oh, well, he could in the locker room.
I'm telling you, these guys are going to bore the hell out of you. Unless they're winning. But the two guys we're talking about as the In the Loop four-way coaching candidate showdown continues on Football Friday during the bye week are Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a little background on him. And Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts. Let's hear from Greg Roman first. Now, Greg Roman is an interesting case study because basically in Lamar Jackson's second year, John Harbaugh told Greg Roman, I want you to create an offense around Lamar Jackson. I want you to make this offense Lamar Jackson friendly, and I want you to get the most out of him. All Greg Roman did was make Lamar Jackson the MVP of the NFL.
Yeah.
I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Before that, he was the offensive coordinator for Jim Harbaugh, and he went to the NFC Championship game three times in 4 years with two different quarterbacks, including Colin Kaepernick twice and Alex Smith once. So this guy, when it comes to a complete offensive play calling resume, he has a better play calling resume than Eric Bieniemy. Would we agree? Is that even debatable?
It's not debatable. And the reason it's not is he gets more out of a quarterback than anybody previous or post. I guess you could argue Alex Smith, Andy Reid got a lot out of him, but
not to the NFC title game.
Yeah, but he did, and he got more out of Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is known for a lot of things. But he was at his best under Greg Roman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even close.
I mean, they were a fade away from winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's done it with quarterbacks who've been questioned. Like, Alex Smith was looked at as a borderline bust.
Yeah, and he became...
Before that year.
A stud.
And then... And
Kaepernick did the same thing.
Kaepernick, there were questions about Kaepernick's ability. He maximized those. And Lamar Jackson, we've heard
people
the talk
wanted
about
him
Lamar
to be
Jackson.
A wide receiver.
Exactly. Greg Roman has done very good with many offenses. Now, he's not going to go viral like Eric Bieniemy when it comes to speaking.
Right.
But there's a lot of substance there. Mm-hmm. And we'll hear from Greg Roman in part three right now. Here's his opening statement. The Baltimore Ravens are facing the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. Boy, that's going to be a good game this Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm excited to watch that. Here is Greg Roman's opening statement in preparation of that matchup.
Getting ready to play the Steelers. They're near the top of the league in just about every category. They're playing really well. They got good, really good players, starting with their front five, I would say. The linebackers at the second level are playing very well. And the secondaries, you know, they got some really good, heady players, instinctive players back there, and they're playing well. So we're excited for the challenge and looking forward to Sunday. But... got a couple days of preparation left, so working hard through it. And any questions?
All right.
Pretty straightforward.
I had a question, but I fell asleep while you were talking, sir. I promise I'll get back to it.
Pretty straightforward.
Now, this has been one of the knocks, because I think the knock on Eric Bieniemy is I don't know how much of a hand he has in what the Chiefs do. I think that Andy Reid is the guy who is the mastermind of the offense. I think Pat Mahomes is a once-in-a-generation talent, and I think John Dorsey put together a hell of an array of weapons. So I don't know how much Eric Bieniemy has to do with it. That's my reservations. There's reservations about Greg Roman that he doesn't know how to maximize receivers, and maybe he's too obsessed with tight ends, and maybe he doesn't like quarterbacks who, you know, are pocket guys. My issue with that is I feel like that's always been just him adjusting to his personnel. I look at it more as a positive than I do a negative. In San Francisco, they had Delanie Walker and Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of tight ends, and they had a mobile quarterback in Colin Kaepernick. I felt like that was an adjustment to personnel.
He did do that, yes.
Just like in Baltimore. They don't have big play receivers. They have Hollywood Brown, but Hollywood Brown's not like a true number one guy. I feel like with all the tight ends in Baltimore, that's just more him adjusting to his personnel. And I look at that as a positive. I think if he came here and he had good receivers, Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, whatever.
It would be a different look.
I think it would be a different look.
Yeah.
But some people have their reservations, and that's very, very, very fair, especially when we're trying to figure out who the perfect coach is. Here is Greg Roman talking about that very thing, because someone asks him about his tight ends, and this is what he had to say about that notion that he just has to have tight ends to run his offense.
As much is made about how important tight ends are in your offense and how much you like tight ends, how hard is it to find players with Nick Boyle-type skill sets, and how kind of crucial is he to everything you guys do offensively?
Well, I think, you know, really, whatever players you have, you kind of mold your offense around them. So we happen to have a couple good tight ends, so that, you know, the illusion can be made that, well, this is a tight end driven offense. Well, not really. It's just really applying the players that you have. And Nick has a very unique skill set, and we try to tap into that like we do with all our players. Because he's here on the team, we get to do certain things that we probably wouldn't do if he wasn't here. It's a credit to him and his skill set.
That's what you want to hear from a coach, right? You know, you can adjust to what you have around you.
Could I interest you in a couple stats about Greg Roman?
Yes, sir.
Roman's teams have never finished worse than fifth in interceptions thrown.
Numbers are hot.
Stat numero dos. In four out of seven seasons, his teams have been top five in points scored, and in all but one season, they've been top 10 in giveaways.
And just to clarify, you're talking about fewest interceptions
thrown. Yes.
Because you said interceptions thrown. I'm like, eh.
No. He's been
fewest interceptions thrown.
He's never finished worse than fifth. So bottom five in the league in interceptions thrown.
Right.
They don't give the ball away, and they also score a lot of points. They've been top five in points in four out of 7 years.
That to me is very telling. What I feel makes a good offense is what you're doing in the red zone. A lot of teams can move the ball. I mean, that's just the rules are such in the NFL that they benefit the offense. You're going to be able to move the ball here and there. Do you have the mindset? Do you have the plays? Do you have the play calling to score when you're in the red zone? And that right there, that last that you said, says that he does, that he's a guy that finishes the drives.
All right, so we've heard from Eric Bieniemy. We've heard from Robert Saleh. We've heard from Greg Roman. Coming up, let's hear from someone in the AFC South. The Indianapolis Colts have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Let's hear from the man who calls that defense, and let's also play the hits. All but four Texans are up for grabs, and AJ Hinch, he's going to be coming back to Houston. Kinda next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, I want a total over under here on Football Friday, presented by the greatness of Hoppadillo and Carbach. How many times will the next head coach? We've heard from Eric Bieniemy. We've heard from Robert Saleh. We've heard from Greg Roman. We're going to hear from Matt Eberflus here.
Mm-hmm.
How many times will the next head coach bring up the cafeteria?
Oh, man.
The cafeteria, you know.
Bill O'Brien brought it up probably 60 times a year.
At least once a week. At least
he brought it up in his last one, right?
Yeah.
His last press conference.
Yeah, his farewell press conference.
Why does he act like there's bad NFL cafeterias?
I don't
know.
That
was so weird.
That's a tough one to crack. It's almost as if he was trying to project this image of he's got his hands on everything down to the cafeteria, because he mentioned it every week.
Do you honestly, I'm not trying to be funny. I just put this poll up at Landry Locker.
Why are you smiling, man?
I'm not.
Because it is funny, but you're not trying to be funny.
I'm being serious.
Yeah.
I'm being 100% serious. Figgy, I want you to let me know. I want the loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. I want y'all to let me know. Do you think that since O'Brien's been fired the last 3 weeks or whatever it is, Do you think he's tried to order takeout from the NRG cafeteria? I don't know what they're laughing at. I'm being serious. Do you think he has tried to make a call? Or do you think maybe he's like texted Tim Kelly or one of his twigs, old John Perry or Mike Devlin, and said, "Hey, you leaving the facility? Can you grab me a plate and meet me out there on Kirby or something like that?" Has Bill O'Brien either ordered takeout or asked Mike Devlin and Tim Kelly or John Perry to grab him a to-go plate and bring him some of that cafeteria food?
I could picture Tim Kelly with like a stack of those styrofoam to-go. Those styrofoam walking out of the cafeteria out the back door.
I found out when you guys found out.
And they're like, "Wait, what? Where are you going?" "Oh, no, I gotta take this with me." And Bill O'Brien is parked in the little circle right there by NRG Park.
I decided to order some takeout for the family.
That's right. You think Bill O'Brien has tried in some way to get some of that cafeteria food?
I think he got some on the way out. He picked some up on the way out.
Man, I've never seen someone so obsessed with something than him with that cafeteria.
It's crazy.
I guarantee you that Tim Kelly or John Perry, one of his twigs, Mike Devlin, has snuck him out cafeteria food.
Yeah, the little fold-over styrofoam food things, holders, plates.
Doot, 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 doot. Ring, ring, ring. Hey, Jamie.
I'd like the smothered steak.
He's calling Jamie Roots, and he's
green
like,
beans and mashed potatoes.
He's calling Jamie Roots. Hey, Jamie.
Yeah.
Is there any way you can connect me to the cafeteria?
No, he's texting Tim Kelly. He's texting Tim Kelly, and he's saying, "Give me the smothered steak. I want Jell-O, green beans, mashed potatoes, and a sweet iced tea. Oh, and a piece of pie. Stack them up. I'll be in the circle at 1:00."
He's honestly, if he isn't, and maybe even King Bill wouldn't try to do that. If he hasn't texted one of his twigs, and he hasn't tried to like make a call to order takeout, he's going through withdrawals.
He loves the cafeteria, man.
He's the NRG cafeteria. If King Bill has really had to stay away from it, he had the shakes at night and was sweating at night when he went to bed.
Yeah,
100%. 713-572-4610 at Landry Locker on Twitter. That is the poll question. Here is Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts. He was asked about the talk about miscommunication by his defense, his Indianapolis Colts defense. And I thought it was really interesting what he had to say. By the way, the Colts are facing the Lions this week. Here was him talking about the notion that there is miscommunication on defense. Because it seems like whenever someone doesn't know where to line up, a player doesn't know where to line up.
Right.
People throw out that there's miscommunication. And I think this is one of the most intelligent things.
I love
things.
This. I love that. You got to listen carefully here.
Of all the things that we've played from Bieniemy, Saleh, right, and Greg Roman, I think this is one of the most intelligent things. And I think it's a mistake that a lot of people make, including some media types, when they see players not lining up in the right place. This is Matt Eberflus talking about the notion that miscommunication is the issue when guys appear to be shuffling.
Well, I mean, talking with the players, and I think that's really a wrong word, because when you say miscommunication, that means like, well, you know, guys are, I'm saying this and I thought you said that. Well, that's not what's happening. It's execution. It's execution, meaning that we need to execute calls and be on the same page and executing those calls. And that's coaching player and player and coach. It's not like the guys are out there and said, hey, we're making this call. And all of a sudden they say, hey, I didn't know it was that call. I mean, that's not what's going on. We got to make sure that we're executing the call and the technique that's required for the call. So that's, again, focused by coach and player during the course of the week and making sure we do that. And that's by also on me to make sure it's set up that way. And, you know, we accept all responsibilities, player, coach, coach, and player. And we're going to improve on that going forward.
I love that. And the reason is because it's not an automatic default, well, blame the player, which we're guilty of, fans are guilty of, and coaches say it, which kind of helps us think that way. Like, oh, it was a miscommunication. You automatically think, oh, dumb player, you know, said something, did something wrong, heard something wrong. No, no, no. The miscommunication, what he's saying there is we're not getting it right. You know, from whatever side it is, we're not doing it right. And that's my fault for not getting it done.
And I think the most amateur Mickey Mouse peewee thing that people do when watching a football game, and I don't know why this goes on, but when a player seems confused or he doesn't know what's going on, they automatically assume, well, the defensive coordinator, they got to be more prepared than that. They got to know what they're doing. They got to know what's going on. Who are you to assume that was the issue? Who are you to assume that player didn't know what he was supposed to do and he just had a brain fart? Because players make mistakes. Sometimes players aren't good enough. Sometimes players aren't good enough at gathering information. Sometimes players aren't good enough at taking what coach is telling them, putting them to practice. It would be like if before the show, let's say our boss called me. Armin called me. And Armin said, Landry, I'm going to tell you this right now. When you talk about that guy, you better not call him a weasel.
Right.
Okay? Do you understand?
Don't call him a weasel, Landry.
Don't call him a weasel. When you talk about that guy, I don't want you using the word weasel. I want you to be more articulate. I want you to be more calculated.
Right.
You better not call him a weasel.
And what do you do?
All of a sudden, the light comes on. Landry Locker talking right here. Man, that guy is the biggest weasel I've ever seen. It's not because of the boss.
The communication was right.
The communication was right. Mm-hmm. I did the wrong thing when I was told to do the right thing.
Right.
So if you're watching a football game and players like Vernon Hargraves or players like Philip Gaines don't know where they're supposed to be, you can't automatically assume that that's Anthony Weaver's fault. They might just not be good players, and there might be a reason they're not good players because they don't know what to do. So assuming that is foolish. It's irresponsible. It's foolish. And it's assuming a lot of things that we really don't know.
But it works the other way, too. And that's what I liked about his comment there. It could be, I'm calling a play into you. You're my defensive. You're my quarterback, all right? And, well, Eberflus is a defensive coordinator. So you're my middle linebacker. I'm calling in a defensive set to you. And I say the wrong thing. And the players line up exactly how they should for what I said. And then we call timeout because I screwed up. I said the wrong thing. That's not the defense I wanted to call. Well, all of a sudden, the players get blamed there when it was really the coach and the call that was the problem.
Here's more from Matt Eberflus. This is him talking about adversity because the Colts have had slow starts on defense, but the second half they've been very good. This is Matt Eberflus, the fourth candidate in the four-way potential Texans next coach showdown, talking about overcoming adversity from first half to second half.
When you look at a game and you look at it by a play-by-play basis, technique by technique, fundamental by fundamental, which is what we did in the bye week here, it's something here and something there. You know, John Wooden said it takes 10 hands to make a basket, and that is so true in football as well. You know, you could say, you know, 22 hands to execute a play. And if one hand's not on the plow or one hand's not on the right assignment, then it could happen. A run could pop. Somebody's not in their gap. Somebody's not doing the things they're supposed to be doing, or their technique, or they made a nice play. And it's a varying of things that happen. And to us, you got to stay positive and you got to hang in there. And that's what our guys did. I think they learned some great lessons about how to pull together, how to lock arms, and how to make sure that we're pulling on the same rope and responding the right way. It happens sometimes at a half and you got to respond second half, like it's happened here all the way up through any game that we've won or lost.
Eberflus would be an interesting candidate. I think he's going to get an interview. I don't know that he's going to be the guy, but if you look at how that Colts defense has played with him in control, he seems to have more substance over it factor.
Mm-hmm. But he's got some sayings, too. You know, everybody pulling on the rope in the same direction.
Which I stole that from John Wooden, but okay.
I use that. It takes 10 hands to make a basket. He definitely stole that from John Wooden, which is one of the all-time great sayings. But they resonate. I mean, it was good. So I like him a lot. And I have, people can figure this out. I have friends that work in the building over there that love Matt Eberflus.
Well, I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about him.
Yeah, just absolutely love him.
Speaking of old sayings, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they used this saying, nooks and crannies.
Mm-hmm.
The hell?
Who? I use that sometimes. And all the little nooks and crannies.
John, I don't want to put your age out there, but this person was about half your age, so I just don't know if that travels well with time.
Isn't that from a boat thing? I think that's from an old...
Well, that would make sense why you would do it.
I think it's when you're on a... I think, correct me if I'm wrong, loopholes, you guys will, I'm sure. I think that saying comes from back in the, when you're shipping stuff back in the old days, you know, it moves because you're on waves. So you got to check all the nooks and crannies for things that fell out in shipment. I think.
Yeah, okay.
I'll double check.
713-572-4610. Loopholes are good for information like that. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one on Football Friday. Albert Breer says, Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, untouchable. Other than that, the Texans would listen to offers for anybody else.
Don't believe it. There is a price out there for these guys, and this is the time when it is a seller's market. They may start the process with, look, man, you know, Deshaun Watson is absolutely untouchable. We don't want to trade. And there's a difference between untouchable and we don't want to trade J.J. Watt, Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard. Titus Howard's a little one, interesting one to put in there, by the way, in Albert Breer's comment. And then you have to understand the backdrop. The backdrop is Albert Breer has a lot of sources all over the league, but it's pretty obvious he's got a direct connection to Jack Easterby. Bill O'Brien and Albert Breer were always thought to have been.
Thought to have my booty.
Yo, Albert, you up? thought to have been pretty well connected. So this is coming straight from Jack Easterby, if you asked me. I'm not saying that as fact. I'm saying that as my opinion. And he doesn't want to be the guy that has that stink of trading J.J. Watt. He don't want that on him.
Speaking of you up,
mm-hmm.
Figgy, what happened to you yesterday, man? I was on the elliptical and I saw that you got in trouble. What happened?
Get in trouble with what?
I don't know, Fig. I just know that you said the feds be all over social media. You got to be careful what you say.
Oh, okay.
What happened?
No, I was actually talking to one of my friends, and I asked her where she posted a picture of her being in a restaurant. And so I commented and said, what restaurant? And she said, DM me.
Whoa.
So she DM'd me to tell me the restaurant, but she didn't want to say it in the public platform because her ex might have been watching.
Oh, gotcha.
I thought it was something else.
So I'm like, the feds
looking,
be watching.
Looking at your timeline, I thought maybe something else happened because I was...
Oh, no, ain't nothing like that.
I saw you told some very attractive girl that you appreciated her so much with a heart emoji, and then about 20 minutes later, you're saying the feds be watching.
Oh, no.
Not to put your business out there too much.
Nah, ain't none of that.
Okay.
Just by the way, sure. I was right on nooks and crannies. I searched it up while you were putting...
imagine that.
While you put Figgy's business out there. It comes from... A cranny is a corner of a boat, like the points and the nooks are the nooks. And that's the 14th century from shipping nooks and crannies.
Every time I think of nooks, I think of I Did It All for the Nookie by Limp Bizkit. It's a good song.
Is it?
It really was.
I don't remember. I probably remember it, but I don't remember the name.
I did it all for the nookie. Come on, the nookie. So you can take that cookie and stick it up your... Stick it up, yeah. Fred Durst with his red baseball cap. Shout out to the kids who like that. That's a polarizing thing I brought up. All you people who have strong music depth, shout out to the loopholes. I'll admit I don't have the best taste in music, so I don't mean to offend you. I know the Beatles are great. I know that Paul McCartney's awesome. It's just my time. It's just my. It's just the era I grew up in, okay? Mm-hmm. So don't hold it against me. Nookie still went hard, though. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I thought of myself when Mike McCarthy was asked a question in his media session the other day.
Okay.
So he was asked a question, and I think a lot of issues...
For the record, I thought of you, too.
Okay. A lot of the issues that are being had in these times are not muting yourself on Zoom.
Yeah.
Or not turning off your camera.
Mark Berman, just ask him.
Yeah, there's been, like, naked people walking in the background of some, like, kids' classes. There's been people taking restrooms, all that. I actually heard that Barry Warner was in a meeting 2 weeks ago. Not sure why he still goes to these things, but Barry Warner like pulled his pants down in front of the whole Zoom meeting.
What?
Yep. True story. But here is...
Isn't that... I mean...
He didn't mean to. He forgot his camera was on.
That sounds like Barry.
Pulled his pants down and showed his butt. Yep. Here is Mike McCarthy... being asked a question, and someone forgot to mute themselves, and it had me thinking of me.
The research and thoughts that you put into how you structure the practice week, getting back to your time in Green Bay, given the trend of slow starts, is that something that you take a look at, seeing whether or not you tweak how you structure the practice week, or is that something that's off the table?
God.
Someone didn't like the question, huh? I just want that wasn't me. So. Jesus. I forgot to. I got the question.
For those who didn't hear or couldn't make it out, they're on a Zoom call. This guy asked a really very minutia type question that's kind of irrelevant, and the Landry Locker of the Dallas media goes, God.
Good God.
Yeah, just like Blake Snell. You've been known to do that.
Oh, I do it every time we play a presser. Every time. Every damn time.
I
want to
hear Blake Snell on a press conference.
Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. We'll go through all the NFL action week one. Lee Sterling's about as hot as he's ever been
he
as far
is.
As picking games.
Smoking hot.
He's about 85% the last couple weeks.
We're getting him in about an hour.
Andy Dalton not expected to start for the Cowboys, so they're going to have a different quarterback. Here is Ian Rapoport talking about who that quarterback's going to be.
So it seems like the direction we're going is Ben DiNucci getting his first start with the Cowboys.
Who?
Ben DiNucci.
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 Who?
Is Ben DiNucci getting his first start with the Cowboys?
I have no idea who the hell that is.
Ben DiNucci. You know who he is?
No.
I don't. He's Tom Cruise in, what was that movie?
The one in Pittsburgh where that coach almost tries to cost him a scholarship?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was good. Why did the guy from Coach always have to be a jerk?
All the right moves.
Has he ever played a nice guy?
Yeah, in the television show Coach. But anytime he's been a coach in the movies, he's been a jerk.
Why?
But he was, I don't know. All the right moves. Because Ben DiNucci is Tom Cruise in All the Right. He's the kind of steel town, local hero. They wanted him to go to Pitt. He went to Pitt. Didn't make it. Had to transfer to James Madison.
Oh, God.
Now he's hustling his way back. His girlfriend got pregnant, probably. I'm just kidding.
Gosh.
Maybe.
I'm an old film guy. I'm an old quarterback, man.
He's that dude. Just that hustling, you know, wears his letter jacket, you know, at reunions and, you know, that kind of thing.
Like that every ounce of his talent?
That's Ben DiNucci. By the way, James Madison's most famous alumnus before Ben DiNucci, Scott Norwood. Wide right.
You just broke the heart of a lot of Bills fans.
Wide right.
It's Thursday night football last night. Falcons win 25-17. P.J. Walker got in for a little bit in relief of Teddy Bridgewater. Not going to lie, I was watching the game, and I was on the phone, and I saw Clint, Hot Fudge, Clint Sterner, who you'll hear at SA2, say, man, P.J. Walker came out there throwing fades.
I'm an old film guy. I'm an old quarterback, man.
And I was like, man, I can't wait. Man, he must be humming. I can't wait to watch PJ.
looked down, he's like 1 of 4 for 3 yards. So
well,
I was like,
but the one was a really good fade.
Landry Locker done lost his damn mind.
And if that name sounds familiar,
he's from the Roughnecks.
The Houston Roughnecks, the undefeated starting Roughnecks quarterback.
Champions.
Gets it. Champions, undefeated.
Undefeated.
He's still it. No, he's not.
XFL.
Yeah, no, he's still not. Undefeated.
There we go. AJ Hinch looks like he's going to be the manager of the Tigers. So congrats to AJ. He's going to be back in Houston next year, just not managing the Astros like a lot of people wanted. It seems like a foregone conclusion that AJ is going to get the job. Not official yet. Looks like it's going to happen, okay? So don't quote me.
As of 8 minutes ago, Cody Stavenhagen, Detroit Tigers beat writer, confirms A.J. Hinch. The Tigers have completed a deal to make A.J. Hinch the next.
Oh, it's not Pete Rose.
The team's next manager. It's not Tommy Lasorda. Let's hire Tommy Lasorda. He's 93.
Joke.
Let's hire him, somebody.
Just awful.
You brought Tony La Russa in yesterday. Why not Tommy? Why not 93-year-old Tommy Lasorda? Cart his ass out there.
It's only appropriate that you hire Tommy Lasorda on Halloween because he looks like the guy from Tales from the Crypt at this point. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Center, Sports Radio 610.
Man, that guy would cuss everybody.
He was good at it. He was very good at it. The perfect buy for the Houston Texans. And speaking of buys, John Lopez is not buying the reports about the Houston Texans that are on the market next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.